But it's interesting, it's something that's off the beaten track, and that's why we learn it. Let's see over here. Kuf Tzadiches Beish, Kuf Pei Beis, and we'll try to would like to go through quickly. That really would be a nice idea. We'll see what happens. Kuf Tzadiches Machshava, Sheyoatz V'goma Machshava. Now, by the way, remember, the writing of the Sefer Chassidim, we're spending a lot of time on this, is very cryptic. And that is because it's very old, and it's been tampered with, and part of it has been lost, it's been recreated. So sometimes the sentence structure is not what we'd expect, and we have to struggle to really understand what it means. It's questionable if that's what it was written originally, or we're not reading it correctly. Machshava, mi sheyatz, obviously doesn't really fit over here. Machshava sheyatz, the person has a thought. What was the thought? Sheyatz v'gama b'libo, he counseled in this moment, he thought very hard. The Gama Belibo, Lasos Nigun Lavoidazara, to make a melody in honor of an idol. Person came up with a melody in honor of Avodazara. We do not relate to this because today there is no such thing as a Yetzirah for Avodazara. But think back. Okay, who says whatever it is, a Nigun in honor of something which is forbidden? So it says over here in Sefer Chassidim, he says Ki'ilu Asa'a, it's as if such a thought, such a composition in his mind, is as if he actually worships the idol. How do we know this? A biblical source, Shnemar B'Zimri Vayomos. Al, what did Zimri do? Zimri was born on Cosby Bas Cosby.
No, this is later.
Let's see. I'm sorry. Vayomos al chatoi sova shechato lasos rabbeinu Hashem loleches b'derech Yerovam. Okay, so Zimri, it says over there that he did not actually, I don't know the context, but it appears that he did not actually do, let's see over the parish on the side. What is it here? Shenemar b'Zimri, on the right side. Shenemar b'Zimri, it's the third line down on the right side. V'kosha, kach niru li, v'tzach loymar, mishum delo hoye ele machshava, kanal. The story there, if we study the context of that story in Sefer Melachim, Ksiv La'asois, it says there that Zimri wanted to do. Min shabikesh la'asois, uve'emeshu ki'ilu asa. So the pasuk over here holds Zimri accountable as if he actually did the Avera, chukach Ksiv asher chota, asher asa. V'yitur etznami ma'ashem melech el hachati, as Yisrael ma'asher hikshe radak u'ma'ash fine. That's going to leave that for a moment. So basically, if we were to study the story there, we will discover that Zimri did not actually do anything wrong, but he put into motion a plan. And here, the Sefer Chassidim is teaching us that if you actually plan to do something, a person is guilty. Now, you're going to ask the obvious question, don't we have a principle? That machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzaf l'maisa. So the answer is, the exception is avodah zarah. There are exceptions. The Gemara says, avodah zarah is an exception. Anything which, because the actual pleasure of thinking that itself is part of the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. And that's why, now what about Gili Arayos? Let's say a person, he thinks certain things about Noshim, which he's not supposed to think.
Everyone would be guilty.
What? So is that, to what degree is that a sin? It's not so simple. Because the whole Hana...
Because maybe Avodah Zarah was the same kind of thing.
Avodah Zarah was something that was not, it's not explainable physically. It's some type of taiva of the Zarah. Is there, I'll ask you a question, science, is there an explanation as to why a man has a desire for a woman? Can it be defined scientifically?
Of course.
Can? I'm not so sure. You sure? Can be defined scientifically? Where that thought, we know there are certain hormones. And there's a certain hormone that triggers a yearning of lust. Now, can that be defined to connect the dots? That if you have these chemicals, you can understand the entire process and how it works? Okay, maybe. I don't know.
The building block of a man and a woman is different. Chromosomes. Two wives and one male.
Right. We know that there are men that do not have this desire for another for a woman. They have a desire for a man, and a woman can have a desire for a woman. And under a microscope, so then you go take them to a laboratory. So they're different. So sometimes, I don't know all the details, but sometimes there's no explanation. There is no explanation as to why a man has a desire for another man when his chromosomes and his DNA, as far as we can tell, the microscope, are exactly the same. And sometimes maybe there is a reason. It's very, very complicated. Okay, there are different injections, different things that are done. It's very, very complicated. So yeah, whatever it is, let's leave with that. The point over here is that we do find a principle that occasionally there are certain rules that where Kodesh Baruch Hu considers a thought to be the act, the crime itself. Next, Gam. Eile lachachamim echad shehemir. He brings a story. Ke'eile lachachamim, this is a pasuk. Now what is the pasuk? Echad shehemir. I guess that's a quote of a pasuk. There was a person that converted to, I guess, Christianity. Okay, he left the faith. Liyamim. Shala Yehudim Shiyashav, he wanted to do teshuva. Viliyos Yehudim. Ach Ein Li Elam Adkes. I think we did this, but anyway, we'll review it. What? I think we did this, right? I think we did.
We had it marked.
Okay, I vaguely remember doing this. Okay, right. Ach Ein Li Elam Adkesef. I have a small amount of money. Vanochem Maminim Li. Uritsoni Li Kachmiyam Harbei. The Acharkach Livrech Imakol Vilios Yehudi. So what exactly did he want to do? He wanted to, one more time, words.
I don't know what's going on.
There's a person who was pulling off, let's read. Echad Shehemir, a person became irreligious. Liyamim, days, years later, Shala Yehudim, Sheyoshuv, Vilios Yehudi, Ach Ein Li Elamad Kesef. I only have, in other words, in order for me to leave the church, I need money. Because right now in the church, they're supporting me. If I'm going to leave the church, who will pay the rent? Okay? Now, by converting to Christianity, they're paying the rent. They're paying my rent. V'hanochre ma'minim li, uritsoini likach mehem harbei, v'acharkach livroyach imakol. And the goyim, they believe me. What do you mean? They believe me what? They believe me what? And they want to take from me a lot. And achar kach levroyach imakol. Let's go further. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's read further. V'lios Yehudi, hey shivlo. They answered him. Kevan sheretzayin chaloshuv v'lios Yehudi al tignoiv v'al tikach mishum adam afilu min hanochem. So what it seems over here is he's asking a shaila. He's asking a she'ela. I got it now. I mean, we definitely did this. Okay, but we'll chazer, we'll review. We definitely did this. So remember now, the story over here was where he's asking a she'ela. I'm now living amongst goyim. The only way for me to survive, I want to become a Jew. On my way out, I want to rip them off. I want to go say to the guy, I want to borrow from you $1 million. And then I'll take $1 million and I will run away, leave the community, become Jewish, get a new name, a new address, they will never find me. So I want to go and steal on my way out. And if I can't do that, then I'm not going to leave. I'm going to remain a goy. In other words, because how am I going to survive? The only way I can survive, it's very expensive to be a Jew. You have to pay for weddings, tuition, kosher food. You have to keep up with the cones. Okay? You have to keep up with the cones. It's very expensive to be Jewish. So if I'm going to leave the goyim, I'm going to have to steal from the goyim and have a lot of money to become a Jew. So they said to him, you know what? Stay where you are. Exactly. They answered him, hey Shavlo, I'll take knife. Just because you want to become a Jew, you have no right to steal. In other words, so stay a goy. Don't go use yados as an excuse for illegal and unethical conduct. So someone said no. This, he's describing a debate. Why the only reason why he became a goy is because he was poor. Mutav sheyikach min anochrim v'acharkach yivrach. And he should run away. V'lo yoichal chazir v'lo yichal l'shabosayitz v'im yidpesu v'im yisu hare misase kapara l'chol avaynoysav. So someone said back, number two said, no, let him steal. Let him go steal, because it's basically, just in a nutshell, it's better that he should not be mechalel Shabbos and eat tarfus then remain where he is now. Amar Chacham Shlishi, du lechem, ki toiv loy shloy toiru loy v'loy tagidu loy mal asais. Both A and B, you're wrong. Mind your own business. Ki im nigroy m'lohara loy hu miyod yagia l'nachrim. If we cause any harm to come upon him, he'll tell the goyim shehayehudim nosnu lo etza al zeh. An amazing concept. I want to actually elaborate upon this with something interesting. V'yavoli de sakana l'chach al tadabru loy. Don't say one word to him. V'chein hoya shehigil l'nachrim chamat shanachrim harugum. They killed him. V'nosnu mamon harbe al zeh. And the goyim almost killed him. V'chamat shanachrim harugum v'nosnu. And he had to pay a lot of money to save his life. In other words, if someone comes to you and asks you advice regarding illegal activity and wraps it up in religion, the third Chacham said, stay a million miles away from this. Because whatever is going to happen, you're going to be blamed. So look, even though we learned before, it's an amazing, amazing, a guy comes, which we read the whole story over here, a guy comes and says, I'm living amongst goyim. I'm eating tarfus, I'm mechallel Shabbos, I want to come back and do b'choytzei b'shuva. But on my way out, I'm going to become a yid, I need money. So I'm going to rip off the government, I'm going to steal from them. They're all anyway reshoim, and they're all ganavim, so ha-goynif min ha-ganif potter. So there's a debate between two chachamim. One says, you know what, be a goy, who cares? You have no right to go steal. Better be a goy, mechallel Shabbos, eat tarfus. You got yourself into this problem, remain the way you are. The other one says, no, maybe you can find an Eitzah. You'll be a ganef, you'll pay back, you'll do, who knows, I don't really have clarity what he's trying to say. The third Chacham says, if a person comes to you with such a shaila, stay far, far away. Because person is behaving like a guy, and he's asking you to do more averos, to steal. Don't get involved with these type of people, because the end of the day is going to be that he's going to get caught, and he's going to go and use your name. He'll take out the record, he'll take out the recording of your advice, and then they'll blame you, and there'll be a massive, massive chilul Hashem. Now, yesterday I was preparing for today's shiur, I don't know what to talk about, and I was looking through a sefer. I talked about Maris Machpelah. This week's parasha, we learn about Rachel was buried in Kivrei al derech Efrasa on the derech to Beis Lechem, and Yaakov Avinu apologizes, so to speak, to Yosef, and he says to Yosef, "Yes, don't blame me that I buried your mother on the road. I did this al pi ruach hakodesh. I did this through the command of Hashem." This is this week's parasha. And then he goes on to say, but me, make sure you bury me in Ma'ara Samachpel. Okay, so that. So I was reading yesterday a sefer where it's basically a collection of questions and answers that were presented to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. And that, I don't remember all the details, but in that discussion, he writes something very, very interesting. A person had a wife, and his wife died, and he had a lot of money. And he sent a letter to the Chafetz Chaim asking if he has a lot of money, what should he do with the money? Either he can support, I don't remember the details, should support Talmidei Chachamim, or he can use the money to bury, to transport his wife's body to Eretz Yisrael. What should he do? Should he use the money for Torah? My Avera. I'm sorry. Should he use the money for burying his wife? Now let me try to recall from memory what happened. So the Chofetz Chaim basically said the money should be used for Talmud Torah. And he gave three the Talmud Torah and he said, I don't remember all the details, but the point that's important is they asked him to write a letter. To write a letter explaining his psak halacha. So he refused. And he said, why not? Why? He says, they're anyway not going to listen to me. Then they're going to do whatever they want, and they're going to use my letter to make trouble. Something along those lines. I don't remember all the details. I forgot all the details. And they went to Chaim Oizer, and Chaim Oizer gave the same exact psak that they should use the money for Talmud Torah, not take the body to Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote a letter. And what was the end? The Chavetz Chaim was right. They did not listen to the Chavetz Chaim. They did not listen. They took the body to Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember the details. Something came out of that. So we learn over here this idea, it right away triggered that thought, is that when someone comes to ask you a question, and the question they're asking you, it's not good either way. It's not good either way. Getting involved in these questions is not to anyone's benefit. The person put himself in this situation, shaloi kedin, and now he wants to get out of the situation, shaloi kedin. Those type of situations stay far away from. The case of the Sefer Chasidim is a person, he went off the derech. You did an avera. Now you want to go back on the derech, and the way, the road to get back on derech is to go do an avera. So my question is, can I do it? How should I do it? Should I do it? And I'm coming to the Rav to ask him a shayla. The Sefer Chasidim here is giving you good advice. When a person did an avera, and he's coming to ask you how to do another avera, you don't answer these questions. Don't be a goody-goody and say, I gotta help him. He's a yid. He's a mibisarcha al tesalim. From your own bus of Adam, don't hide yourself, right? No. There are times in life when you have to be cruel. He did an avera. If he now wants to do a mitzvah, okay, you can help him. But he did an avera, and he's asking you a heter to do another avera that will ultimately lead to something which supposedly is going to be good. This is a recipe for disaster. That's a very powerful lesson. People all the time, they come and they tell you, they come to you, and they talk to you, tell you advice, they want to do this, you want to do that. Know what you're dealing with. The situation that they got involved in is criminal, and now they want to do another criminal act in order to solve a problem, and they want to wrap it up in a package of Torah mitzvahs and Yerushalayim, put a beard on it with payas and a big yarmulke, stay a million miles away. That's the lesson of this halacha. Next, v'imyesh mumar v'yodua l'chashuv y'ir. Let us say there's a mumar. V'yodua l'chashuv y'ir v'lacham shabu y'ir v'shabaritzon shabaritzon ho yechoyzer b'shuvah. V'im yivrach tehei sakon li'an shu yesh yomar ha'yudim hiv ri'chuhu. If there's a mumar, and he's known to the chachamim, and he wants to do tshuva, he wants to come back, and if they do not accept him, then he's going to make things even worse. Yachal lignei v'stas hanachim shayom ha'sheroitze l'leches l'eze kodesh l'choig, v'yikach alav tzal mehem, ad sheyetze min amokim shemakir ma'isov v'lo yechat ha'roimus al ha'yehudim. I don't know what this means. Let's maybe look at the parish on the side, if there is a parish on the side over here. V'im yesh yachal hu v'yikach alav tachshitehem ad v'atzal le'mar. I don't know what this means.
Sacraments,
yeah.
They would be upset at the Jews. But if he's a guy and he takes it, then there's nothing wrong with it.
So let's read it again. V'im yesh mumar. There's a Jew who left the derech. V'yodua l'chashuv y'ir l'cham shabu y'ir shabirotzen ho yechoy zeh b'shuva. That he really wants to do tshuva. V'im yivrach tehei asakon l'an shu y'ir shiyomu ha'yudim b'richu. They're going to say that the Jews convinced him to come back. Yachol lignei v'stas hanachrim. He wants to go to some city, some holy event,
to
Mecca, and he's going to take some of the ornaments, their money.
So they won't have they won't be upset at the Jews of the town. He's saying I'm going to
yeah.
the Vatican.
Yeah.
And he takes along the holy stuff from the guy to the guy.
So he's stealing.
He gets out of town.
He's stealing, yeah.
He changes, he gets dressed as a Jew.
Yeah.
And he's stolen the precious icon.
So he's stealing.
Yeah.
Eli, not allowed to steal. I don't know. Let's go further. I don't know. A Jew did not hamer. He wants to go. He's not going to make himself into a priest, but he's going to change his clothing. He's not going to shave his beard. That he can do. Now this obviously touched upon the story that we learned yesterday about tests, we learned 2 days ago about Christianity, the origins of Christianity, and how there was a Tana who was recruited to basically take all of the Jews who were believers in this religion and to separate them and to change them. So therefore he, obviously those were special times. But generally, this is touching over here upon something which I will appear better on the topic of halach. Is a person allowed to make believe that he is not a Jew, to not wear a yarmulke, to not wear any religious garb? You go into another community, or let's say a person has a job, and you do not want to show any signs of being Jewish. Is that a proper thing to do? So here, we're dealing over here with every situation. We'll just discuss some of the issues. There's an element of sakonas nefashis. Chamira sakanta yoiser me'isura. When you're dealing with sakana, let's say not to give a bris during the world of the Holocaust. A baby is born, and the parents are going to say, we're not going to give the baby a bris smila. These are real shilas. Because if we give the baby a bris smila, it's a giveaway that he's Jewish. And when they discover the child is Jewish, they will instantly kill our child. So instead, let us not give the baby, the child, a bris milah because there is a sakana. What is the halacha? You can't ask that question. Every situation is different, and it's not so simple to answer that question. So there, you're not even giving a bris milah because of sakana. What about to dress like a non-Jew? Let's say to go today, let's say you're a person, a professor in a college, out of town, and you don't want to wear a yarmulke. Is that the proper thing to do? Is it a sakana? I don't know. It depends where you are. Depends what kind of environment you're in.
On the other hand,
we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not buried in Eretz Yisrael because Moshe Rabbeinu was embarrassed to say that he is a Yehudi. Okay, Yosef's bones. The difference between Yosef and Moshe. Look at the contrast. Moshe Rabbeinu suffered for 40 years. How did Moshe suffer 40 years? Not 40 years, but towards the end he suffered. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu was entrusted, told to take the bones of Yosef. Vayikach Moshe's atzmois Yosef imoy b'mechitzasai. What's the main difference between Yosef and Moshe? Moshe says, Ish Mitzri hitzilanu miyad haloyim. The benois Ruel, the benois Yisrael, when they came to Yisrael, they said to Yisrael, how come you're home so early? Ish Mitzri. Why do they call Moshe Rabbeinu an Ish Mitzri? Because Moshe told them, I'm a Mitzri. Why did Moshe tell them, I'm an Ivri? Moshe was embarrassed. I don't want to reveal my identity. Yosef, when he went to Mitzrayim, what did he say? Ivri. Yeah. He said, in evidence, there's an Ivri that was with us in prison. He called himself an Ivri. So Yosef had Jewish pride. Moshe was ashamed to acknowledge that he is a Jew. And it was Moshe who was embarrassed to acknowledge that he was a Jew, had to take with him every single day, b'mechitzasa, the bones of Yosef, who was proud in the land of the Ervas Haaretz, to say, I'm a Jew, and I'm proud to be a Jew. I'm not embarrassed to be a Jew. So it wasn't that a shtech? Wasn't that a painful musr? The Ribbono Shel Olam was giving musr every single day to Moshe Rabbeinu by reminding him, you were embarrassed. Yosef was not embarrassed. Yosef was not embarrassed. That's why Yosef's bones will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You who are embarrassed will not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So we struggle with this every single day in the secular world. On the one hand, blend in, don't make trouble, don't look for trouble, and just don't show that you're a Jew on the outside. Mm. You walk the streets, put on a covering over your head. Don't have your tzitzis dangling. Disguise yourself. What do you need the trouble for? On the other hand, adarava, I'm the Yehudi. I'm proud to be a Jew. I'm proud to be a Jew. Where do you draw the balance? This is a major, major struggle. Over here, the Sefer Chassidim over here, in this unique instance, is dealing, and there really is no answer. Obviously, there are many, many variables that it depends on. What is the degree of sakana? What exactly is the degree? What are the repercussions? How much are you allowed to be meiser nefesh? Is it a mitzvah, dvar reshus? These are the issues. And here he touched upon this. He touched upon this, that the lo yisakin atzmai ke'en koimer. If you have to disguise yourself, don't dress up like the Pope. You can dress up like a guy, but don't dress up like there's a limit to how far you can go. Kadesh lo yakiru aval yishani begodav. You could change your clothing. People on their own can make a mistake and think that you are a guy. If you go and you dress like the Pope, that means I'm a guy. Here I am. I'm a guy. You're making a statement. But if you just wear parva clothing, I didn't make a statement. It's you, the observer, who made a mistake and thought that I'm a guy when really it's your mistake. That's always the general rule. Like this is the classic example when you go to visit someone in the hospital, and you discover, do you know who else is here in the hospital? There's another guy here in the hospital. Also, while I'm here, let me go visit him as well. You go into the guy's room and he says to you, "Wow, I can't believe you spent 2 hours of your time to travel here to come visit me. I can't believe it. I'm flattered. I'm indebted to you that you were so kind to travel all this distance to come visit me." And you in your mind say to yourself, "I didn't come for you. I came to visit my family member. It happens to be you're also here." So what are you supposed to do? Are you obligated to say to this fellow, "I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I couldn't care less about you. You just happened to be here. So you're going to be the cheftza of my mitzvah today. I'm going to come and say hello to you." Are you obligated to say that to the person? Absolutely not. You're in this situation. You did not bring it upon yourself. The visitor, he is the one. Ihu hu.
Say to him, "I came to see you."
No, that is forbidden. That is forbidden. It is he who made the mistake. You're not the one who created. You may have done something which may be vague, which allowed him to make the mistake, but at the end of the day, he is the one who made the error. Same thing, a person should be proud that he is Jewish. To go ad kidei kach, to change your name, like a name that is a goyish name, only the one second, I'll tell you, To change your name, that's only a guy would have a name like this. Mm-hmm. That is an extreme. People do that sometimes. Yeah. Parents, they have children. They give their children a name that only a guy would have, because they don't want them. They want to blend into society. They should have their opportunities should be open, and then they have a Yiddish name. That's an extreme. You give a child a name that is. You give a child a name that is parif. That is nishtahi nishtaher. So anyone that sees the name and looks at the person, it is they who are making the mistake and think that he's not Jewish. That's generally the rule. Yes, Heshi.
You frequently see in France, they tell people not to, or Germany, don't wear yarmulkes, that's the color. And also...
Depends where, and depends who you ask.
In World War II, there's some people dressed like galochim, and they were able to save people or save themselves.
So that's already another extreme. You're saying another shalom. When you want to dress, one thing about yourself. If I dress like a galach, then I'm going to live. If I dress like a Jew, I'm going to die. Okay, for myself. That's one shalom, which I don't know the answer. Who has grace? Okay, it's not so. What, you're going to tell me the people who did not do it and allow themselves to die? They made a mistake? Can't say that. They done al kiddush Hashem. There's nothing more noble than done al kiddush Hashem. Were they mechuyev to do that? I don't know. There are no answers to these questions. Yeah. But your question is a different question. I'm going to get dressed up like a galach, shave my beard in order to go into a missionary to save Jewish children? That's a whole different question. That's a whole different question. Okay, so these are very difficult questions, and over here, to a degree, the Sefer Chasidim is touching upon these issues. Let's go further. He got dressed up like a goy, uborach, and he ran away. He got deliberately disguised himself like a goy. Kisvudim shu nochri. They thought that he's a goy. Vishal, they asked him, Vishal, fine, and he survived. Then he came to the Chachamim, and he asked him, did I do an Avera? Shal, tzarchani kapara? Amrlo, kevushim etchilo chashafta kach, hayin cha liknois malbush nachri, ulisakni b'chutim she'enim shal pishtan, v'tzarech kapara. So, again, we have to take everything with a grain of salt from the Sefer Chasidim, very high standards, is that you went too far. You could have escaped by wearing parva clothing. Obviously, the case is he wore shatnez. He put on shatnez, or he went to an extreme that it should be blatant that I'm a goy. They asked him, was it necessary to go ad kedei kach, to go and openly show that you're a goy? Would it have been sufficient? Would it have been sufficient for you just to wear something which is parv and let them ihu hu de ote anafshe? And therefore, you need kapara. Adam shalach b'shaya on a caravan. Yehei loy shine begodim kashal nachrim b'loy shatnes. Going, developing this theme further, you should wear clothing that goyim wear, so people should not know that you are Jewish. But be careful; there should be no shatnes. V'im yelach b'mabusha yehudim shemasik lachedim v'nim so godim ro lekulam lo yase. Well, in other words, let's say you want to take the risk. You want to go al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, you're very happy. You're very happy to go on the train and to have long payas and to go al Kiddush, and they should kill you, beat you up, and go al Kiddush Hashem. Good for you. But if you're going with a group of people and you're all associated one with another and they discover that you're Jewish, they're right away going to check into the paperwork of the other people and they're going to discover they are Jewish, you have no right. You have no right to use your religion to be machmir at the expense of someone else. Another very basic yisoid. Oh, you want to be machmir? Be machmir.
What about the opposite? Everyone's wearing a baseball
hat. Yeah.
No, I'm wearing my yarmulke.
So it could be you're not allowed to in that case, because since if you are going to wear a yarmulke and they're wearing baseball caps and everyone sees you're talking to each other, you're very friendly with each other, obviously you're going to open up a suspicion that if you're Jewish and you're so friendly with these other people wearing baseball caps, why all you guys wearing baseball caps? What's under the baseball cap?
Hi.
It is usur. It's exactly what it says over here. It says over here that you're not allowed to use your chumis v'nim segrim bro lakulam lo yaseh. A person that says you goyim good, if you cause good, then you get credit. If you cause roll around, it's like you did it, you harmed them directly. With the group. It's not chavura. Chavura, the dat is a wound. With the vase is a group. In Lakewood, do they give chaburos or chavuras? They give chavuros. Chaburos means it's a wrestling match. It's a wrestling match. It's a chavura. A chavura. Maisa b'chas lecha shalach b'derech v'machavura. Amo lechal b'esh big day miktoiren. Wear a miktoiren. What is a miktoiren? It's a certain type of garment. A frock, okay, miktoiren. Shelo yakiru b'ach, they should not know that you're Jewish. Omar, he said, no. B'nei shetofer b'shanes. So you asked them to be quiet outside. Why do they have to scream right in front of us?
Over here?
Omar b'nei shetofer b'shanes. So he said, because it is so, I don't want to wear it because it's so b'shanes, lo yalbish. Tof su oiso, they grabbed him. V'hutshuchu l'vdoisoi, he did not listen. And he wore his tzitzis hanging out, and he was grabbed, and they put him in prison. And now, Kol Korei, Pinyan Shvuyim, made a collection. Thank you very much. I said we have nothing else to give tzedakah. We have nothing. We have no other needs to give tzedakah to. V'oyseh chas et torach at shapara. Ki an Omar ani goramti. So the chassid, he in this maisa, he came around. This is extremely rare, such a thing. The victim, the person, he said, I made a mistake. Chotasi, I made a mistake. I should have listened. I should have dressed up like a guy. Look what I've caused, Klali. So I've caused them so much harm. They have to now go redeem me. V'chol mi shetzorach lelach b'derech shorach l'shiyochim malbushim b'shu b'chuti canvas or b'mesh yisilk sh'kidei sh'lo yiyei shadnei sh'yei mzumim loy k'shiyei tzlerch. So the Sefer Chassidim is teaching us of Yopsak Halacha that when you go out on the road, don't dress like a Jew. Don't dress like a guy. Dress in power of clothing where it's not discernible if you're Jewish or you're not Jewish. As we says, and by the side, this is so true in America today. You walk out of New York, you tri-city area, what?
He's saying it for
Sakana? Yeah, certainly. Right. Jews are not liked. And you go out of the tri-state area, boy, you'll be in for a real surprise. Okay, we think we own the world. Maybe in New York they're tolerant of us. In Brooklyn, you go out of the tri-state area, you go out.
On the country, where are the incidents happening? In our immediate area,
nobody goes identified.
Out of town, they may.
But the hatred is very intense. You're putting yourself in very great second. The hatred out of town is very intense. They see a Jew. They don't like a Jew. They really don't like Jews.
I don't know.
Okay, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Go to Simon County.
The first time I was really at a rude awakening about this is many, many, many years ago. The first time I ever went on a chat. AOL, remember those days? AOL? Okay, they dominated the world, AOL. They owned the world. Okay, their stock market, everything went all the way up until it totally went down the drain. So AOL, they had chat groups, discussion groups, AOL, chat groups. A chat group. So I once went into a chat, really a chat group where people were discussing politics. And these were people not from Brooklyn. What people were saying and writing, the hate of what they thought of a Jew was unreal. It was a real wake-up call to realize you live in a bubble here in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and in Brooklyn, you're protected for whatever reason.
But you know that the world of comments
is
a very narrow
the cesspool.
Slice
it's the cesspool.
What normal people, it's not what normal people.
But it is a revelation of what people are really thinking.
And the same thing is true on Jewish sites, you know, but the comments are insane. So, you know.
Okay, so we have a lesson to learn from the Sefer Chassidim.
That's not a good sample.
Okay, maybe not. Halavai, right. But at least we have a lesson, a very important lesson, that when you go traveling, you have psak from the Sefer Chassidim, don't, when you're going amongst goyim, be very careful. Ace, la, say, slashem, hey, feris, or secha. There are times when you're allowed to break the rules. Avbi, sh'amra, ta'ira, lo, yebucha, klihev, alisha, lo, yilbash, give us, simasi, shani, zasser. Im tsaru ayvim al ha'ir, oy im holchem baderech, the im yedu shehem nashim yishkivum, if they're going to know there's a woman here, they're going to rape the woman. And what is the solution? Teilachna b'malbushe anashim, the af b'cheref, kidei sheyu sevurim shem anashim. A woman is allowed to bear arms. Now let's understand the halacha. There's an iser d'oraisa for a woman to carry a weapon. How do you like that? There's an iser d'oraisa on by default for a woman to carry a weapon. Why? Because a weapon is considered a kli gever. I didn't make the rules. It says in the Torah, lo yeh kli gever alisha v'lo yilbash lo yeh kli gever alisha. You know what that means? A kli gever is a weapon. A gever, men. In ancient time, Torah was given, men went to battle, combat. What? So the Torah was defined. The Torah, it's all the time of the Torah, just like the laws of Trefus.
But a woman is allowed to protect herself.
Okay, that's the heter for today. Okay, that's it for today. But let's understand the base. Let's go through the steps. In the time when the Torah was given, women did not go to war. They did not fight on the battlefield. They served in support roles. They were not trained in bearing arms. And therefore the Torah says, don't change the rules. Do not create a school where you're going to teach women how to engage in combat. That's not correct. Lo yihyeh chali gever, a weapon, al isha. That's what it says in the Torah. And it doesn't just mean that the woman should not wear pants. A woman should not wear clothing of a man, and a man should wear clothing of a woman to mingle. It means don't change the gender roles. And that includes when it comes to specifically weapons. So here we are, you're traveling, and if it's a fact, and if they discover there's a woman here, they'll rape her. So what is the solution? She should wear men's clothing. Okay, so wear men's clothing. But also, at the kach, she should carry a holster. Mm-hmm. Jesse James. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to assume who is only a man has a pistol, right? Has a weapon, has a sword. Oh, but it's an Isra D'Oraisa. So are you allowed to do this? So he says, yes. Yes, he says. You're not mechuyev to give up your life for this. This is not from the Gimel Averos Chamuris. The Gimel Averos Chamuris are Avodah Zarah Gili Arayah Shvichas Dam. Over here, it's not a man is telling you to be nichshol in Eishes Ish. It's a woman being raped. That's a terrible thing, but it's not from the Gimel Averos. It's telling you to do an Averos, not to be raped, to go violate the loisase of wearing the garment of a man. It's modim yedu shem nashim yich b'shum telachna b'lbush na nashim v'yah b'cheref k'dei sheyu sevurim shem anashim, that they are men. V'im ein sham el asara me anashim v'yei sham kam anashim tach gorna cheref k'dei sheyu sevurim shem anashim v'lo yazikum. If there's only there an asara me anashim, what does it mean? V'im ein sham el asara me anashim v'yei sham kam anashim, there are many women. Same thing. I'm not sure the difference. They should wear swords. They should not. Now, what about today? Today, women has the rules changed today? Lamash, let me explain. Today, are women allowed to wear pants? Pants were typically the garment of men. Women until modern times did not wear pants.
It's a different cut. It's a different style.
It's true, it's a different cut, but the resemblance, the type of garment, it's a type of garment which is the same type.
The colors, if you put colors on it and trim.
But it's a difference. So this is the debate. You say, it's a big debate. But you don't need to go into that. Let's discuss just generally. No, that's another topic of tznius. That's another topic. It is a garment. There are many, many dimensions to the question. But the basic issue is, a skirt is a garment that is miyuchud, just a generalization for women, and pants are a garment that are, in general, are designated for women. Even though women are going to wear, if they're going to wear, they're going to adapt, they're going to make alterations in order that it should fit into their lifestyle, a certain cut, a certain style, a certain color, a certain comfort, fine, but it is a garment who in the eyes of the world until recent times was viewed as something miyuchad for men. So, but society has changed. If society has changed, how does that overflow for us, for religious Jews? This is a very big debate. And many poskim will say that today there is no prohibition. A woman who lives in a modern society, and this is what is done, is acceptable, it's fine. It's fine because the rules of clothing are not defined by Matan Torah. They are defined by society. What about, now go to the next level. These are all very questions which have no answers. Bearing arms. Today in America, I don't know what the statistics are, but there's a whole movement fighting with the president. Is the Constitution, one of the Constitution of the United States, is that you're allowed to bear arms. It doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that a woman can't bear arms. Okay, there's no gender. There's no, that's a, we're not getting to that. That's a policeman. Let's discuss just the Constitution. The Constitution, is a man allowed to bear arms?
Yes.
Yeah, the Constitution says yes. Does the Constitution differentiate between a man and a woman?
No.
No. Are there women in this country that carry weapons on them?
Yes.
Who are not part of the law enforcement people?
Yes.
Yes. So how does that affect us, an Orthodox Jew? Does that mean that when it says here lo yechli gever al isha, does that mean that it's not called anymore achli gever? Or do we say no, it's such a significant thing, it touches upon what war, it's such a significant thing that maybe it doesn't, maybe the rules don't change for us. And a woman, bizman azeh, I'm not talking about law enforcement. I'm talking about just a good feeling. Why does the average man in America who carries arms and is an esh lahav against the president, that you have to have rights, you cannot deny us the rights, that, is it because they want to protect themselves? I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. It's macho. It's just, that's life. Life, part of being a person is... What? Okay, so this is also a debate. Now, if that is the case... If you will show me a situation, if you will show me a society where men bear arms because that's just what men do, and the Constitution allows for a woman to bear arms, is an Orthodox woman allowed who's not part of law enforcement, does not have a job as being a policeman, a policewoman, does not in the military, is she permitted to train, to weapon, apply for a license, and carry arms according to the Torah? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I wrote when the Torah was written. What was arms? Let's say a sword.
A sword.
Now, can we voluntarily add to arms some other?
A pistol. A machine gun.
Like kidneys.
You're saying very good. You're saying that maybe the halach is so limited, only the type of weapons that exist in the time of Chazal.
Yeah,
maybe you're right.
Maybe you're right.
Okay?
But in any case, it's beginning to make inroads in the from community.
Okay, so then now there's today there's a new issue. Today there's a new issue, which is protection.
Because now they have this
Sakana
spray bottles, which doesn't kill right away.
So is that called a weapon? That's a defensive weapon. That's defense. That's not offense. What is a weapon? Okay. So today is another issue which you can't compare. A woman should be armed for protection. Not because it's a macho thing to do, not because it's the derech. Yeah, in ancient times that's the way you dress. You put on your belt, you put on your weapon.
Yeah.
Do I use the weapon? Hopefully, you know. Just that's what you are.
Like in the Westerns.
And what's the proof to this? What is the proof to this? You saw it because when Mashiach will come, there's a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. Will carrying a weapon when Mashiach comes be a melacha on Shabbos in the place of a reshus harabin? Is that an iser deraisa? Is a weapon called a malbush or is a weapon a tool? So let's say that in the time of Mashiach, there are no wars anymore. There are not going to be any wars. So you don't need weapons for defensive measures for war.
There's no crime also?
No crime. And if there's no crime, so why then? So then, in the times of Mashiach, so going out into the Rishus HaRabim with a weapon attached to your body should be a Malacha Deraisa. Because what's the weapon for? I need it, protection. No, you don't. You don't need protection. So what does the Gemara say? The machlok is the mission, set the brachas. No! A weapon is not just protection. A weapon is a malbush. So even if you live in a society where there is zero crime, Mashiach, and there are no wars, it is still, according to one opinion, called a garment. Is a woman allowed to wear this garment? It says no. It's not allowed to wear this garment. So what about in today's modern society? So these are questions which you're not going to get a clear answer.
Right.
And I told you the variables. If a woman has a job, my parnasa, I'm in law enforcement. So of course she can wear a weapon. It's part of the job. She's not wearing it as a malbush. What about, should a woman go into this profession? I mean, you can ask that. Should a person become a doctor? If you become a doctor, you know you can be Michal Shabbos. So you like to become a doctor. That's another issue. What about if a woman is not, but sakana? I read a very important article, it's very important article, is that you do not underestimate the power of having one armed person in a community, in a shul or anywhere. Cameras are not real, but it's all preventive medicine. It's all in hindsight, all really in hindsight. In case there's a crime, we can right away find the perpetrator or it scares away. But Rachmana Litzlan, a person who wants to do something, the damage he can do, and statistics have shown that even one person who's trained to carry a weapon can save thousands.
Correct. Just happened.
What?
That's right. Just happened in Texas.
What happened? I don't know. What happened?
Texas.
Yeah, the guy was in
the
church,
security,
with
a
six-second. One person, one person, and you know, it's not a civil matter. And they wrote this up in Ami magazine a little while ago, I remember, it's 2 years ago, now. about the importance. They spoke to the biggest experts in security, and they said cameras are very good, and it goes without saying there has to be a cameras wherever you go. But that's not enough, and the only thing that the next step is even in a massive facility, in a very large facility, one person should be armed, and that at least one person should be armed. That can do a lot.
It's already begun in some shuls.
So if you have an environment of women, so it's not this is an issue. So but over here he's saying over here to add proof to this is look what the Sefer Hasidim says. Okay, the Sefer Chassidim says that when it's a sakana, a woman, it's clear as day, a woman is allowed to bear arms. All right, it's late, so we'll stop over here with Reish Aleph. Take a very short break, and I want to talk about Kever Rochel. I prepared a little bit to talk about Kever Rochel today.
You said that today, right?